one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Let's look over in, Timothy. Will you do that? Look over in Timothy now. Now then, I want you to look, if you will, at, First Timothy, chapter 4, and verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Didn't say a doctrine, did he? Said the doctrine. You know what that is? That's Bible doctrine. That's the salvation by grace. Did you know that's the main doctrine in the Bible? I never do get too worked up about these people that always saying, well, I'd like to know what denomination you are. I mean, what's your tag, please? And if you go about a month without displaying your tag, somebody said, well, what's your tag? I'd like to know what you... Well, let's just settle for salvation by grace, through faith, plus nothing. He said, take heed to thyself, unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, you kind of keep that place right there and turn to the book of Acts with me, will you? I like the book of Acts because that's where the action took place. That's when the church is moving on. Yes, sir. Now, look at chapter 2 and verse 42. And here's that word again. And they continued, see, they continued. They just kept on going. They just walked right on. You know, the Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what that means? That means it's better to walk and keep walking than it is to run a little piece and faint, see, and quit. I think every once in a while we have some folks that will just take off and run a little bit, and that's about it, see. You know, a cottontail rabbit can run real fast for about 100 yards, and brother, if he hadn't made it to the hole, look out. I mean, the dog gonna get him. But an old blue-side jackrabbit, I mean, he can get started running, and he's at that turn row. And I tell you, if the dog don't catch him in about the first 100 yards, the dog ain't gonna catch him. I mean, he's gonna really lay him down then. He knows that route. He's going. I mean, he knows exactly where he's gonna go. You know, some of the greatest times I ever had in my life, I guess. And I wish I could tell one little dog story here. Is the rabbit running we had. I remember one time we had 19 big old greyhounds. And we'd put them in the collar, you know. And we'd put two in slip collars and you'd push a little button. And the dogs wouldn't even see the rabbit. But when that collar pushed and the collar dropped off of them, and all the other dogs would be on leashes or ropes. We didn't know what leashes were back. We just had them on rope. But anyhow... And we'd drop that collars off, and those dogs start running, and then start looking until they saw the rabbit, see. And here they'd go. You know, we had a couple of dogs. One was a big red dog, and one was a big, beautiful white dog. I think he's the prettiest bird dog. I mean, the prettiest, I'm always thinking about bird dogs. It's the prettiest greyhound I've ever seen in my life. Now, these two dogs knew how to do something that some of us have never learned how to do. They learned how to cooperate. Did you know it? I mean, they knew exactly how to catch a rabbit. They knew how to catch a rabbit. I've seen them many a time. One of them was a little faster and would press the rabbit. I mean, really. I mean, he'd really get after him, see. And one of them would come along, the old red dog, I can remember, the old red dog, would come along and watch and try to figure out which way the rabbit's going to turn. And when the rabbit started turning to the right, the old red dog started cutting across. and the other one came right in behind him. I mean, he was pressing him, and he was going to see to it that he didn't cut back the lip, but he's cutting. And I guarantee you, the old red dog cut across. You talk about cooperation. I've never seen such a pair of greyhounds in my life. And I tell you what, it is just almost death on any dog, on any rabbit that ever jumped up. Because those two dogs, and it looked like it didn't make any difference which one of them caught him, just so he got caught. I think both of them shared in the honors. I wish sometimes folks had much sense as dogs, don't you? You remember the story I tell about the cows? One of them facing north, one of them south under the big oak tree during fly time. That's right. And they're switching flies off each other's face. Now that's cow operation, isn't it? Wouldn't it be a sight if we had girls that had that much sense? Knew how when their time to cook comes and, you know, wash dishes come. And wouldn't it be, some of you little old girls, you throw conniptions fits when you're going to have to get your little old silly hands in the dishwater. Isn't that silly? God have mercy on your husband if you ever get one. I mean, I want to send to him my heartfelt sympathy. Little old helpless outfits. I'm telling you the truth. Why, little wallflower. Why, if you don't learn some responsibility now and learn how to do some things now, I tell you, what makes you think you'll ever make a success in the world? I mean, who'd want to hire anybody? It's easy to do something for yourself. You know what that is? That's selfishness. That's what it is. Well, you spend your life just doing something for yourself. You'll never amount to anything. The Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread. Now then, chapter 5, 1 Timothy. Back to 1 Timothy, chapter 5. And verse 8. Now, to the new girls that are here, the way to learn to find things in the Bible is first memorize the books of the Bible. And I'd like for whoever room you stay in, go over these books every day till you get them. I mean, every one of them. You can't get anything located. You come into a strange city like Corpus Christi. How would you ever find where I live if nobody tells you I live? Or just suppose they said, well, Brother Wolf, I'm coming to see you. And I said, fine, my old country cousin back there, Brother Earl, he calls me up. And Brother Coons, and he said, well, Brother Wolf, I'm coming to see you. I said, all right. He said, where do you live? I said, Corpus Christi. He said, where do you live? I said, Corpus Christi, told you. He said, yeah, I know, but Brother Wolf, it's 200,000. I said, well, if you can't find me just by Corpus Christi, bud, I mean, come in and look for me. See? He said, Brother Olaf, now I'll never. I'll spend days looking for you. And he said, why don't you tell me? I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, live in Corpus Christi and live on Naples Street. As far as I'm going. He said, what number? Well, I said, that's none of your business. I mean, after all, that's my private home. And I can't tell everybody where I live. See? Oh, he said, Brother Olaf, I'm your friend. I said, I know, but I just guess it. That's what you do. I mean, just try to find it. Now, wouldn't it be something? And yet, that's exactly what you do with the Bible. That's right. That's what a bunch of you say, well, I'm not going to memorize the books of the Bible. And I'm not going to memorize verses in the Bible. Well, dear friend, if you don't memorize the books of the Bible, and you don't know where the chapters and the verses, how can you find the location? You've got to find the home and the address. See, the home address of the Word of God. And so memorize the books, and then you'll know what chapter, you know what verse. That's the street, see? That's right. That's the street, and it gives you the city. And that's what they said over there in the book of... Let's look at the book of Acts a minute, will you? Let's see if he gave the home address. In the book of Acts, let's see now, where could that be found? I know it's in the Bible. And that was the 9th chapter, you remember? The 9th chapter of the book of Acts, that's the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And in that chapter, and let's go on down to about the 11th verse, 9th verse. And he was 3 days without sight, neither to eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I'm here, Lord, present and on time. What if the Lord called you, what you'd say? Would you say, well, I'm not here. I didn't hear you. He said, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street. All right, here's your visitation program right here. Go into the street. Well, Lord, What street? Well, he said, go into the street called Straight. That's the name of the street. I think all of us ought to live on Straight Street, don't you? Huh? If a person ever gets saved, I believe he lives on Straight Street. He's straightened out, amen? Every little girl ought to be living on Straight Street. So, all right. Call Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. Now, that's house number. I mean, yeah, I guess it's maybe a small town, and he said, now everybody knows Judas, and you'll find one called Saul in the house of Judas, and that's where you're going to get him located. It's called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's playing bridge. No, not either. He's praying. I tell you, how'd you like to go visiting if the Lord calls you up on his heavenly telephone and said, say, Brother Olaf, I want you to go out and visit on South Staples tonight. And there's an old boy lives out there on a certain number, and he's in a prayer meeting. He's praying. He's in a bad fix. He's praying, though. Wouldn't that be interesting? I knocked on the door one day like that in my home community at Dalton, Texas. I could call his name. And I knocked one Sunday afternoon, and his name was Wilmer. And I went down there, and when I knocked on the door, old Wilmer came to the door. He'd known me all of my life, and I was preaching at our little country church, at my home church. And he said, oh, Lester, he said, I've been praying you'd come. I said, well, I'm here. Amen? You say, what happened to him? What happened to him? He got born again. He'd been praying, a little sinner praying, Lester, a little old, what if I hadn't gone, wouldn't it? That might have been bad, wouldn't it? But the Lord told me to go, and the Lord told him to pray for me to come. And so the old boy's just about half saved, if I could put it like that, when I got there. He said, well, look here. The Lord heard my prayer. I mean, I'm lost. I haven't even been saved. And he sent the preacher by to see me. And, of course, old Wilmer got saved and got blessed. Girls, the Lord's sure interested. You know that. He's really interested in you. Y'all didn't come down here accidentally. Mm-mm. The Lord must have brought you down here. I know one thing. Either the Lord brought you, the devil brought you. And knowing the devil like I know him, I don't believe he'd bring you. Because he knows you're going to get the gospel splashed right in your face every time you get up and go to bed. I mean, the Word of God's going to be preached, isn't it? And he don't want the Word of God. He hates the Word of God. He'd tear it all to pieces. Listen, you know what Jesus used to defeat the devil? The Word of God. He certainly did. And so, he told him to go over there and preach to him. Now then, I want you to look at the 8th verse of the 5th chapter of 1 Timothy. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, this goes for the radio friends across this land. You know what he's talking about? And I can just see the daddies now just sort of stiffening up and putting their chest out a little bit and taking a look at their bank account and their balance and the nice big home, the two-car garage and the wall-to-wall carpet and the television set in every room, you know. And... well, I'll give you to understand, Dr. Roloff, or Brother Roloff, or something. I want you to know I provide well for my family. Is that so? Brother, I'm not talking about just the little green dollar bills. I'm not just talking about the clothes. I'm not just talking about the house. I want to know what kind of spiritual provisions you've made. That's what he's talking about. He said, any man that doesn't provide for his own, I mean, he's denied the faith, that's spiritual. He's denied the faith and has become worse than an infidel. That's getting pretty bad, isn't it? Well, I think an infidel will be bad enough. Well, when you get worse than an infidel, you know who that'd have to be? It'd have to be a so-called Christian. It'd have to be a man to say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, yet never reads the Bible, prays with his family, never offers any spiritual help to his family. He's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I tell you who that'd be. It'd be you little old sweet girls that come in here and say, I commit my life to Christ. He can have the rest of it and then turn right around and defeat your purpose and say, I'm not going to live for him. I wouldn't memorize the chapter. I wouldn't read the Word of God. You've denied the faith and have become worse than an infidel. Why? Because you promised God you'd give him your life and you failed to do it. And you said, I'm going to turn back on the Lord. You'd have to be worse. Now, an infidel's not that bad because he never did even promise to serve God. He said, I hate God and there's no God and I'll give you to understand. And just like old John Newton used to stand on the deck of his old ship and say, if there's a God up there in the middle of the storm and the old thunder was rolling and the lightning flashing and the waves dashing over the old deck of the ship, and he said, if there's a God up there anywhere, said, I dare you to come down and sink this ship. Make yourself known. If you're all that big, said, sink this ship, you know. Oh, Now, you know what some of you'd say? I believe if I'd have been the Lord, I'd have accepted his challenge not to drown that booger right there. Now, wouldn't that have been a little thing to do? Wouldn't it? Can you imagine a great big God, huh? I mean, having a fight with a tadpole like that. Can you see what I'm talking about? Brother Williams, I've had people want to debate me. Oh, and I will forget when I went to Houston many years ago. There was a certain man that he debated every preacher when he first came to town about his doctrine in his church. And I want you to know, when I first got there, he sent me that letter of challenge. Oh, he said, I want to debate you. I'll meet you anytime you get ready. And I want to debate you. And I want to prove to you that I'm right and you're wrong. And you don't know the truth and so forth. And you say, what did you do? I didn't pay attention to it. I really, I didn't have any time to waste on that little tadpole. I really didn't. You say, what do you mean? Why, do you think that you could have defeated him? So far as I'm concerned, I would have. I'd have just read out of the Bible and that'd have been all of it. I mean, I just said salvation's by grace through faith plus nothing. And I'd have given him John 3:14-18, Ephesians chapter 2, and John 10:27-29, John 5:24, and John 1:12. And I'd give him a few scriptures like that. And the debate had been over, as far as I'm concerned. The old boy wouldn't have. But you see, he'd have twisted and squirmed and wormed, and he'd brought out some of his little proof texts, you see. But you see, the way I looked at that, and I said to my people one day in Houston, I said, now, you know, it'd be just like, you know, one of these little cats. Have you ever seen one of these little cats with a stripe down their back? I mean, sort of sport model kitties, you know. I mean, they're about that big. You've seen them, haven't you? I mean, some people call them skunks. Some call them pole cats. And I'm not trying to be, but I mean, just suppose, one of those little bitty things came up. A great, big, great Dane dog. And said, I'd like to challenge you for a fight. And the dog said, no, I don't believe I want to fight. I'd rather not. And the little skunk says, now, you're just a big, dirty coward. That's what you are. You're just a big sissy. I mean, why, you big luggerhead, you said, if you're a man, let's fight. Huh? And the dog said, no, now run on, little kitty. I mean, just go on now. I mean, get in the grass out yonder and just have a good time. I mean, go out there and play with the other little kitties, you know. I mean, just don't worry me now. Just don't bother me, see. And the little cat, you know, the little pole cat, he said, now you see there? That shows you who's the biggest and who's the strongest, and I'm out fighting this thing, and I want you to know, if he'd fight me, I'd whip him all over this Johnson grass patch. I'd do it. And the old dog just jogged on down the road. And so, you say, well, why in the world didn't that big dog just really tear into him? Couldn't he whip him? Yes, he could have whipped him. He'd just made one bite for him. That's all. But, you know what happened, don't you? It'd take that big dog at least 30 days to get the smell off of him. Wouldn't it? Girls, did you get the point? That's what happens a lot of times. These people that want to argue and want to fight, I mean, just kind of, I mean, don't call them skunks or polecat. Don't do that. I hope you won't even think they're there, but I mean, leave them alone. Because even though you know you can whip them, but it's going to leave some smell on you. And it'll take you time to get over it. It really will. And I wish you could just be real sweet. Jesus didn't fight back, did he? Oh, they wanted to fight him. The old devil got out there, you know, and he talked about him. He wanted to bow and to scrape and to obey and all that kind of stuff. Jesus just went right on. Took the word of God three times, said, it's written, it's written, and it's written. And the devil said, it sure is, and I'm pulling out too. I mean, that hit him, didn't it? What did Jesus use? He used the word of God. Now that brings us up to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Chapter 2 and verse 15. Here it is. Now surely all of you need to memorize this. Study, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God. It didn't say unto man. If we'd spend half as much time trying to get approved unto God as we do unto men, we'd sure be a lot better off. We're born trying to please men. I mean, trying to please people. Little children, they think they can go and please somebody and get rewarded for it. Oh, so many things pop into my mind when I look back at my childhood days. And I never will forget, my friends lived on our farm. And and I can remember it myself. And they always laugh about it. Of course, they're, most of them dead and gone now. But I was just a little bitty kid, and I'd go down there. And you know what they do? They give me a nickel, a buffalo nickel, and brother's a heap of money. Especially during the fall, they'd make it a little more. They'd give me a nickel to walk real big across the floor. Just walk like a man across the floor. Proud of a boy, wasn't big enough to see, and I was walking like a man. They said, "Here's you," and they'd laugh. I can hear them laughing now. Oh, they thought that's, what's it doing? Showing out. Let me ask you a question, and I'll have to be the first to confess, I've spent a lot of my life showing out. Wonder if that gets you in trouble. Have you tried to, you know, just clown around? I mean, just try to make an impression on somebody, and when it's all over, I mean, it's just like a snowflake falls in the river, white for a moment, gone forever. And that's it. And yet, you think that's pleasure for you. Pleasures are like poppies spread. You seize the flower, the bloom is shed. And that's it. And you girls, you thought, oh, man, I was queen for the night. Yeah, but I tell you what, you were a servant for the next day and a slave for the next day. You remember that? You remember when you were the queen for the night? And then the next day you happen to be old Satan's slave. You were whipped and defeated and sick and miserable and said, what's the use? And the devil said, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to cut both wrists. I mean, life ain't worth living. Yeah, why don't you look at that dirty liar and say, you know why? It's because I served you last night. You sorry liar, you. You deceived me last night, and now then, after you've deceived me, you want me to kill myself so I can come live in your nasty, hellish, fiery home the rest of you. I'm not going to do it. And, you know, I never have since I got right with the Lord. I've never told but one person to go to hell, and that's the devil. That's right. I never would tell anybody. You're never right with God. You're never right with God if you ever tell anybody to go to hell. I don't care. Listen, I haven't got an enemy. And I mean, I've got a lot of them, but I haven't got an enemy that I want to go to hell. I want everyone to go to heaven. I really do. And I don't care how mean you may get, we never want you to go to hell. We want you to go to heaven. You'd say, well, Brother Wolf, I've got news for you. I don't even believe in hell. I still don't want you to go to hell. I just still don't want you to go. Because that's one of the signs you're going. Marilyn Monroe didn't believe in hell. And there's just a lot of people that haven't believed in hell. But I tell you, you can't spit the fires out. No, sir. Just make up your mind. You'd say, Brother Wolf, that's old-fashioned. I know it is, but the Bible's old-fashioned. God's old-fashioned. Jesus' old-fashioned. Sin's old-fashioned. And anything and everything worthwhile is old. If it's new, it's untrue. I get sick of these people that say, I've had them to ask me, said, Brother Wolf, we've got a new movement, and we'd like you to join with us. Oh, this is, we got something new. This is new. Well, that's the best way in the world to keep me from joining. Brother, anything outside salvation by grace, you can have it. I'm not going to fool with it. The truth is as old as God. I tell you, I'm glad that God doesn't change his message. He doesn't say, well, I wrote something there that ought not to have written. I mean, I'm going to change that. No, sir. Never does have to change it. All works the word of God. I mean, thy word's eternally settled in the heavens.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today entitled, Christ Destroys the Works of the Devil. Now to receive this message on a CD, ask for offer number RO2656. Include $10, which helps cover shipping and handling. We'd like to have today's date when you write and also the call letters to this radio station. Here's the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Our special offer for the month of October is Brother Roloff really expressing himself in a very unique way in presenting Bible truths and messages during the preaching ministry. The little booklet's entitled Words Fitly Spoken. And if you would like to have this booklet, ask for offer number RO124. Again, the title is Words Fitly Spoken. It's a booklet of famous quotes with many of his expressions used during the ministry. It's 88 pages long, and I know that if you don't have it by now, you'll want to receive it.
Now, when requesting it, ask for offer number RO124 and send in $8. To order by credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you can write at the roll-off Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, we've had a very difficult summer financially, as many ministries have, and we're trying to catch up with the deficit that we had incurred during that time. So if you can put a gift in the mailbox today, it would be greatly appreciated, and we'll certainly thank you for that. Again, the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you a wonderful day, and we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.